This is exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
And it is great to have in the Inner Sanctum for the first time young jockey Chris Caserta, who is lucky that it wasn't blowing a gale because he may not have made it today. He could have been blown away because he is getting down to 44 kilos to ride the two-year-old filly Jetstar in the Black Caviar Lightning on Saturday. Chris, great to see you, mate. You're looking good. How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, it's I feel good. I feel good, Michael. Thanks for having me on the, in the studio anyway.
Now, tell us, how long have you been preparing for this? When did you first get an inkling that you were going to be riding Jetstar at this weight?
When I saw that Lloyd, when a few people put up on Twitter that she was going to get 44 kilos, I messaged Lloyd straight away saying if he was struggling to find a rider, I'd be able to do the weight pretty comfortably, and I was lucky enough that there wasn't many riders that could ride that weight, and he gave me the call up, and it's been 2 weeks in preparation to get down to this weight, and I'm still sitting at 46 kilos, so two more days of sweating, and should be good as gold for Saturday.
Well, that's great proactiveness by yourself to put that out there and chase the ride, and now you're a chance to win your first Group 1. What do you normally walk around at?
50-51.
Wow, so you've got to lose 7 kilos.
Yeah.
And 7 kilos off 50 kilos, what's that, about 12% of your body weight? That's remarkable.
Mum was saying the other night there's not much on me to lose, so I don't know where I'm going to find it, but I'll manage.
How do you do it? Give us your daily regime.
I'll basically wake up for track work at the farm at Tony's place in Angaston. I'll probably ride about, 10 to 15 horses and hopefully lose half to a kilo. And then basically just, keep the fluids up as well, not too much, and just eat lettuce and celery sticks, and had a bit of kangaroo meat because it's very lean meat and high in protein for the first week, and I've had to cut all that off this week and just stick to lettuce leaves and celery sticks.
So your daily intake now and for the past week, can you tell us exactly what you eat?
Just celery sticks.
So, like, you wake up in the morning, one celery stick, would it be?
I'll wake up, go do track work, and then probably around lunchtime I'll just have a couple of lettuce leaves and a celery stick, and that's it, and probably just jump in the sauna now and the bath and have the sweat gear on while I'm going for a walk.
Are you starving?
Oh, I'm looking forward to Saturday night, I'll tell you that. I can't wait to go out to dinner with the family.
And what about, you say you're keeping your fluids up, so you can drink as much as you want, can you?
I don't want to drink too much because my body was probably just, hold on to it and probably won't allow me to sweat. So I'll just have enough to keep me hydrated and just ticking over for the next few days.
And I suppose you also need to do it so that you're not feeling weak. You've got your strength because you need to ride at your top. So is that a balancing act? Do you do it in consultation with nutritionists or doctors?
I well and truly know what to do, and I've spoken to a few of the boys that usually sweat every day to ride, their weights that they're comfortable riding at, and they've told me that as long as I keep my fluids up, it'll be easy for the weight to just come straight off me. So it's good to get advice from boys that, do it generally.
And does it affect any other part of your life? Are you sleeping well? Do you get headaches or aches because of the wasting?
A few headaches here and there. There's a little bit of dehydration, but I sleep like a baby. As soon as I close my eyes, it's like lights out. So that's good. Get good sleep, and I'll wake up, relatively fresh enough to go through the day.
2 kilos in 2 days. What do you do to get those last 2 kilos off?
Well, after I'm finished here, I'll go straight to the gym, jump in the sauna, and try and lose a kilo today and a kilo tomorrow. I don't really want to lose anything on the day because I'll probably be really tired and sluggish. So if I can just do the 2 kilos in the 2 days, I'll be right and have enough energy to be able to hopefully punch her home first past the post.
It's a great story. It's a great talking point, 44 kilos. The last time we saw someone get close was Clever Zoe, 1993. Stevie Baster was just a little whippet back in the day, and I think the last two-year-old to win was a horse in 77 called Desirable. The weight for age scale's been, tested, and it's been over 100 years old, but I suppose another question in today's day and age with the evolution of humans, jockeys are getting bigger. Is it almost archaic to try and have a jockey get down so light to ride in a race?
Well, I guess I guess if you've got someone to do it and they're able to, you know, put their hand up like I have, I don't think it's a problem. But like you said, you know, this day and age, kids are just getting bigger and bigger, and it will be, you know, a struggle later down the track, and they might need to put it up a couple. But you know, I'm doing it in a healthy way. I feel fantastic, and you know, I'll be able to get down to the weight.
Yeah, other sports would use it as a punishment. You know, it's almost cruel.
Yeah.
But the way you're very dedicated, and I think your background is probably a big help here, because you're a black belt in Taekwondo when you were a junior as well. So is it that dedication and that perseverance, do you think that mindset has helped you?
100%, and also the motivation just to, you know, be able to do things as well, and just to keep your mind off, you know, the job sometimes, because it can be tiring and stressful. So the motivation keeps me going as well, and keeps the blood pumping and the adrenaline going.
You're flying at the moment over in South Australia, but take us back to when you were a junior and you got really quite experienced and a quite high level when you were practicing Taekwondo. How good were you?
Yeah, no, I got to a black third dan, so it took me about 10 to 12 years to do that, and I fought overseas. I went to Malaysia in 2009 and Korea in 2010, sorry, and then I was national champion over in Hobart in 2005, and a numerous Victorian champion for many, many years. So no, it was a good experience. I taught kids as well, so I was an instructor over at Team Carlo Taekwondo Centre there, and no, it was a good ground set for obviously being a jockey, because it's helped me so much in, obviously, like you said, discipline, motivation, and just the fitness side and everything.
Have you ever had to use it outside of your
no,
training?
No, I have not, actually. I have,
because I'd imagine blokes might see, look at this little fella here.
Yeah, exactly. But you wouldn't want to find me up, I'll tell you that.
You could take down anyone.
Yeah, well, in the next couple of days I'll be pretty fiery. You know, I'll be looking for a nice T-bone steak after Saturday. But yeah, no, a lot of people are just staying well away from me at the moment.
I bet. And what about some of the guys that you used to fight with? Have they gone on? Any of them reach Olympic level, or have they made a transition to MMA, which is now very popular?
It is very popular, MMA. I absolutely love the UFC. I'm a big fan of it. But a couple of people that I have trained with in the past have gone on to Olympic level. Carmen Martin, she was in the Olympics in Beijing, and also my good mate Tom Afanchenko and Will Afanchenko. They're slowly getting to Olympics level now, so wow. Good luck to them, and all the best.
Have we got any other black belts in the jockey ranks here in Australia?
I wouldn't know, to be honest. Yeah. I wouldn't know. That'd be quite interesting to find out.
You'd be the toughest nut riding around. And you've probably needed that mental strength again, because you've had a pretty tough career so far as a young apprentice. You had a shocking fall going back a few years ago, and you were on the sidelines for almost 18 months. Just remind the listeners what occurred and what you've been through.
Yeah, so towards the end of 2014, I'd only been riding for 10 months, race riding for 10 months, and I went to Cranbourne one morning to do some trials on a horse that I'd previously won on at Geelong, and, you know, it was a beautiful ride, that horse, and I don't know, he just got spooked, and there was pedals in the ground to protect part of the track at Cranbourne, and he had a mind of its own and just took, you know, ran over a few pedals, and I landed in front of it and broke my femur. I was out for 18 months, and I had to wait for that to fully recover and wait for the pins and the rod to come out of my leg for me to get back race riding, and got back race riding, and things went really well. Went to Gay Waterhouse for 6 months, and then now I'm with Tony.
Back to the fall, the femur, your largest bone in your leg, and it's such a weight-bearing bone for your body as a jockey as well. It must have been a terribly difficult break if it took 18 months to heal. Why did it take so long?
Oh, because I straight after surgery, I could put 50% pressure on it straight away. They got me doing exercises as soon as I was out of hospital, which was fantastic. I was only on crutches for, I think, a month from memory. And I was just in the gym every day for, you know, 2 hours at least, and did a lot of physio work. But after 12 months, I still had a hairline fracture through it, and I had to wait for that to fully heal to then take the rod out, which then took another 6 months to heal as well, for all the holes from where the screws and that were to be fully healed.
How tough was that for you, a young kid trying to make his way as a jockey, and you're on the sidelines for 18 months?
It was very tough. I was actually starting to hit me straps really well and starting to, you know, get some good rides and almost about to hit city level. And then, you know, obviously that bad accident happened, you know, but everything happens for a reason. I find it to be a bit of a blessing, because I actually look back now in those 18 months, it took me, I went back and, you know, worked over my craft and all that.
So what did you do during that 18-month period?
I just watched a lot of races, a lot of gym work, and, you know, perfect my style a little bit on the mechanical horse when I could do it. It's definitely made me a wiser rider as well as a stronger rider as well.
What's the background, your family background? Where does the interest in racing come from?
There is no interest in racing.
Really?
Yeah, no. Back in 2010, when I was in year 10, my mate said at school, "You should be a jockey, you know, you're small enough." So I thought I'd do it for a laugh, and did work experience at Racing Victoria for a week. And I was lucky enough that John Didham was the coach at the time, and he was very keen for me to, you know, pursue the career of being a jockey, and he helped me get into the right stables at the times that I needed to fill it. And it was fantastic.
You still mates with that fella?
I am, yes, I am. I ring him every now and then, and actually his old manager is my new manager now, so he got me in touch with Damien a long time ago, and I was in Sydney at the time, and things are going great with me and Damien at the moment.
And what do your family think about your career choice and how you've gone at the moment?
Dad was over the moon when I said it. He was all for it. Mum was a bit iffy, being a mum, you know. Yeah. But she's jumped on board, and she's fully supportive of my career and everything now.
You mentioned your comeback with Gay Waterhouse as well. How big was that for you to go and work for a trainer like Gay Waterhouse, and what did you learn from that time?
It was sensational. I learnt a lot, really just building my strength up, because I'd just come back from injury, so I was still a bit weak and fragile. So I was doing, you know, 15 to 20 horses a morning up there, and, you know, she was really great to work for. She's very, her stables runs like a factory, you know, everything just happens so smoothly and beautifully, and she's got some amazing horses, so it was good to jump on some really nice horses and get a feel of them, but then also getting a feel of the, you know, not so nice horses as well. And that's the same as at Tony's as well, you know, it's been fantastic, and she really helped me build me strength up and build me confidence to be a good rider, and I think that's a massive advantage for now being in Adelaide and the riding ranks there.
What about other jockeys? Have you got a mentor, or who's helped you along the way? Who do you model yourself or look up to?
Well, you know, here in Victoria, we've got the two coaches, Matty Pumper and Darren Gouchy, and they've been really, very, really supportive to all the apprentices here, and they've done a fantastic job. And I looked up, to Gouch when he was riding. People my size, really. I'm not going to look up to someone like Jamie Mott, as much as he's a fantastic rider.
Well, will, literally.
But, you know, he's not my, you know,
not your size.
Yeah, exactly. All my style. So, you know, I try and, you know, look at, you know, Dean Yandel, Holland, Gouchy when he was riding, Oliver, you know, Williams, all them sort of riders as well.
Do you think there's an advantage being the naturally small jockey over a jockey who's a bit taller, with balance and distribution of weight on a horse?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of trainers don't really like the dead weight, but, you know, in the end of the day, I don't think it really matters sometimes, because it's just stable on the horse. And, you know, I have probably more strength than those jockeys that do have to sweat every day, you know what I mean? So I think it is an advantage being a natural lightweight.
And you mentioned your move over with Tony McAvoy, and it's been remarkable for your career. You had four winners at Morpheville last week, three winners the week before. You're absolutely flying. How did the association with Tony come about?
I was looking for a change. So obviously, I did a stupid thing and was out for 4 months. And I was looking for a change to get out of the Melbourne city and just somewhere a bit quiet, and so I can focus and really pull my head in. And, you know, Tony was looking for an apprentice at the time, and we had a little meet, and he was happy for me to go to him, and had to be in Adelaide for a bit. So I'm hoping to hopefully come back over here. I've only got a kilo and a half left in my claim. team, and hopefully I can knock that off in both Melbourne and Adelaide. But Tony's been absolutely fantastic, and the staff there at Angaston have been really good too, and it's obviously showing in the results and how hard I've been working up there.
Getting away too from Melbourne in a more quieter environment, has that been a help for you as well?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's beautiful up at Angaston. It's there's not much to do, and you know, all I do is work. So it's fantastic to clear the head as well. Mm. It's really good.
What were you going through that period when you had that recent 4 month stint?
Not much really. I was a little bit depressed. I didn't really feel as if I probably should have been riding or anything. My head was just all over the place, to be honest, you know. And being up at Angaston's really cleared me mindset and made me want to do it again. So it's fantastic.
Did it have anything to do with the pressures that jockeys are constantly under and the 24/7 cycle of riding?
Yeah, I think so too. You know, we're always constantly riding, like you said, and you know, that can have effect on some jockeys as well. And it's not like I have to sweat and that, you know. So, but there is still, you know, pressure with the punters and all that sort of stuff to make sure, you know, you ride the favourite really well and this sort of thing. So, you know, there is still a lot of pressure and a lot of things going through your mind that does sort of half frizzle you a little bit.
Are you on social media?
Yeah, I am on social media, yes.
Does it get tough at times?
It does. You know, when you think you've given the horse every possible chance that you could have given it, but nothing worked out in the race, and you do get a few nasty messages, which isn't pleasant to read in the car home. But, you know, I've learnt to put those aside and not worry about them, because I'm not there to ride for the punters. I'm there to ride for the trainers and the owners.
It must be hard, though, for a lot of jockeys to try and block all of that out.
It is. And that's when I say, like, a lot of jockeys do sort of break down and go in that depression sort of stage, and it sort of half frizzles them a little bit, and they just lose their confidence and their lack of confidence, and then they start riding terribly. And when you start doing that, you know, accidents can happen.
Well, you've had a remarkable career, the ups and downs, and it's only a very young career. Are you going to try and extend your apprenticeship to ensure that you can outride your claim, considering you had 18 months on the sideline?
Yeah, so hopefully I can extend for another 12 months, and that will bring... I'm actually meant to be finished April the 4th, which is my birthday, come out of my time, so hopefully I can extend for another 12 months with Tony and go for another year, and hopefully fly back and forth Adelaide and Melbourne to try and knock off as many winners as I can to lose his claim.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Lightning on Saturday. No doubt you've done a lot of form. You've been through the other runners. With the 44 kilos on her back from gate two, do you expect to be leading?
I do, yes. It just depends on where they're going to go down the straight. I know that we've got two races before the Lightning down the straight, so I'll have to watch those two races to see what sort of patterns it's like. But it'd be good if she can do what she did first start, jump to the front, take the rail, and hopefully keep going.
Have you spoken to Lloyd? You haven't been on her back, but what's the confidence emanating from the stable?
He's very confident that she'll run a very nice race, especially with the weight advantage that she's got. And I spoke to Joe Bowditch on Friday night at the Valley when I was here, and he was over the moon with the way she's been and the way she's come through her last two runs. He said it's like she's had 10 runs already. So no, they're very confident that she will surprise and shock the other runners.
Who do you think's going to be the hardest to beat, your biggest challenger?
I'd have to say Tony's horse. Yeah. The way I saw her gallop down the straight on social media, it looked pretty impressive. But she's got 9.5 kilos, you know, more than what I've got, so it'll be very interesting to see.
Have you been on her back at Tony's?
Yeah, a while ago when I came down here for my first little stint with Tony, I rode her just at a canter, and she's a lovely moving horse. I ride her full sister at the farm sometimes. We swap and change with her, and she's also a very nice, lovely, promising horse as well.
What's her name?
Sister.
Sister, okay. Was she far away?
I'm not too sure. I don't think she's trialled or anything yet, so she's still just going through her evens.
Put that in the black book. gee, it would be a great achievement for you. All the family and friends heading out to Flemington on Saturday?
Yeah, no, the whole family's going to be there, so it'll be fantastic.
And just what would you have to carry excess? Because you're going to get down to 43 kilos. How much does your saddle weigh and all of that? Because it's quite remarkable how little it is.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have a saddle very little. It's probably gonna be the size of my hand.
Really?
And that will probably only weigh a tick, so 100 grams. And
oh my God.
I want all my gear to probably be half a kilo to a kilo. Yeah, so
that's amazing.
That's including boots and everything. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, mate, we wish you the best. It's quite remarkable getting down to 44 kilos to ride Jeddah Star, and you'll be sick of lettuce leaves. Are you a Cos lettuce leave man, or what type of lettuce leaf?
No,
do you have different types?
Just the one. Yeah,
it's amazing. Well, mate, I hope you get to enjoy a bloody big T-bone on Saturday night, and you go close to winning your first Group One. It's a great experience, great opportunity for you, and mate, great to get you in here and hear about the Chris Caserta story. It's been fascinating.
No, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Chris Caserta, young jockey. He's got a great head on his shoulders, getting down to 44 kilos to ride Jeddah Star in the Black Caviar Lightning on Saturday. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Racing Pulse. On the other side of this, we're going to get the latest with Sally Snow.